face the cross as it enters the center. Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your gentle and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, and bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We take the insert for the second Sunday in Lent and chant the entrance.
For zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me.
O God, why do you cast us off forever? Why do you drag your sword against the sheep of
house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Lent is from Jeremiah chapter 26. When Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold on it of him and saying, "You shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, 'This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate, without inhabitants'?" And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord, and took their seats in the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and to all the people, "This man deserves the sentence of death, because he has prophesied against the city, as you have heard with your own ears." Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words you have heard. Now, therefore, mend your ways and your deeds, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and its inhabitants. For in truth, the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We chant Psalm 4 responsively by whole verse.
Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Offer I sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord.
Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord.
when their grain and wine abound. And stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken. And I tell you, you will not see me until you say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise you.
Confess together the Nicene Creed, page 191.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God and very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made by the prophets, and I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated for the hymn of the day. Hymn 708.
Thank you.
mercy be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't need to spend much time this morning wondering whether or not Jesus' message to Herod ever arrived to him. The truth is, Herod didn't know who Jesus was. He had heard the stories, the rumors, all of Judea had, about this man performing miracles and preaching a strange gospel. And like the rest of Judea, Herod wasn't really sure what to make of it. Others thought that he might be Elijah, come down from heaven to preach again to the people of Israel. Others said that he was just another prophet. Herod, for his own part, thought this could be John the Baptist, risen from the dead. Herod was confused by Jesus, perplexed, not angered. It was his father, Herod the Great, that sought to have Jesus killed because he recognized Jesus as a competitor for his throne. So he sought to snuff out our Lord's life in the cradle and order the massacre of the holy innocents. This Herod, Herod Antipas, the Herod in today's gospel reading, he wasn't afraid of Jesus. He had no malice to Jesus. He wasn't against casual violence. He had John beheaded because his daughter asked him to do it. But he had no reason to hate Jesus. When Jesus finally appeared before John, before Herod, during Holy Week, Herod just asked him to do some miracles, as though he were a child at a magic show. The malice was not in Herod. The malice was in the Pharisees. They didn't hate Jesus quite as much yet. They didn't want him dead. They just wanted him silent. They wanted him to go somewhere else. They heard his preaching of a gospel of faith, not works, of a promise that the kingdom of God belonged to those who believed in it, not to a special tribe or to holy, righteous men. And they didn't want him to be around any longer. Jesus heard their words and listened to his reply. Go tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. Jesus was not afraid of what would happen to him. He understood it. He welcomed it. Christ did not come simply to do miracles. Christ did not come just to exorcise demons, because those miracles were temporary. Those exorcisms did not end things. The people that Jesus healed would get sick and would die. The people that Jesus exorcised would go on to sin again and again. Jesus did these things because they are good. It is good to help our neighbor in a temporal way, but he also did them to show who he was. They were signs showing the way to the truth. What is that truth? These healings, these exorcisms, they were all pointing to Jesus' identity, his power, his authority, his nature. Jesus is the one who seeks to mend the flesh infected with sin. Jesus is the one who wants to drive out the diabolical invaders that have grown amongst his people and send them back to hell from whence they came. He is the one who comes today and tomorrow to heal, to drive out demons, so that on the third day he can run his course. Those first 2 days are preparation. He's like an athlete getting ready to run a race. He's like a soldier getting his arms and armaments ready for the battle on the third day. He's like a general who today and tomorrow gathers his forces so that on the third day he can make a final strike. Jesus comes today and tomorrow so that on the third day he has victory. He's a king that's ready to enter his kingdom with all the pomp and circumstance that that requires. And because it is his kingdom, he's not afraid of anyone trying to get in his way. He will not turn aside for false kings, false advisors that would turn him away from his path. Let Herod make threats. Let the Pharisees play their games. Jesus doesn't mind them. He is the king entering his city. He is the bridegroom coming to the wedding hall. He will not be stopped. He will not be barred. Jesus must go to Jerusalem. There is no other place on earth that he could go. Jerusalem was the holy city. It was the place where the temple of God was built, where the Lord Almighty dwelt amongst his people. To that city, Jesus must go. To that mountain, the Lamb of God must die. It is that holy mountain, which in ancient times was called Mount Moriah, where Abraham ready to sacrifice his son, and God held his hand back. It is that mountain where the blood of bull and lamb and goat was shed to cover the sins of the people. It is that mountain where the city of David was built, that mountain where the holy people of God dwelt. It is that very mountain where the prophets went, speaking of repentance, speaking of forgiveness, and that same people of God spilt their blood. Jerusalem's history is stained red with blood. This very people, this people blessed by God unlike any other people on the face of the earth, when they heard the word of the Lord proclaimed in their midst, they rejected it violently, with stones, with swords, with death. The very city where God held back his wrath for sin, this is the city where his prophets went to die. These are the sort of men that St. Paul warns us of in Philippians. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. When Paul says that their gods are their belly, he is not speaking of mere hunger or even of gluttony. He speaks of what the ancients called the passions, the earthly needs and desires that we have that drive our minds down to the earth, so that we stare at the ground like dogs looking for food. This is a curse for anyone, but it's especially a curse for those who claim to follow God, who know that their salvation does not belong to the earth, cannot be found amongst men, but is found above. They ignore their Lord. They ignore their Redeemer and all that he had done for them. They become true enemies of the cross. Their words praise God. They pray to him. They do the ceremonies. But their thoughts never rise to heaven. When the prophets of the city came to warn them of their path, to tell them of the destruction coming, they killed them. They showed their true allegiance. Their goal was not to find the good, heavenly, eternal things, but to find the earthly things that they could hold in their hands and that they could find their own righteousness in. They take fool's gold for the real thing. They reject God's righteousness and use their own. For this, their ends are destruction. The same impulse, it still lives on today.
we still have this desire to fill our own bellies, to do the things that we want to do, to reject the will of God for our own, to sleep with who we want, to find that our own identity, to believe that we control our lives with our own hands. This is a wicked universal principle. And we have built a culture and a society that only ingrains it in us. If there is any good that's come from the pandemic and from the war in Ukraine and the economic fallout of both, it's that it's taught us that we don't have control of our lives, that our lives are easy to disrupt. There's not much we can do to control that. We were like children playing a game who have now discovered the game is over. We built our houses on sand and we saw them swept away. So when we rebuild, we do not build it again on the same place. We find a better foundation, a strong rock, Christ, to build upon. Jesus, the Christ, the rock, he did not forget the people of Jerusalem. He did not forget that they were stained with the blood of innocence. And yet he speaks of them longing, tenderly. He speaks of them like their prodigal sons. Listen to his words. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those that are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Behold, your house is forsaken. It is not forsaken because Jesus has forgotten it. It is forsaken because those who dwell in it have forsaken him. Judgment was on the horizon for Jerusalem. Only 40 years later, it would be torn down brick by brick, the temple destroyed, the Jews spread, exiled. But this is not the judgment that Jesus had for it. Far from it. In fact, he had the opposite. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed indeed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And blessed are those who trusted him. Jesus came in the Lord's name to Jerusalem precisely to die, as the greatest of the prophets, so that his blood could be shed once for all, a final payment for sin. The city opened its gates. It welcomed him in with cries of Hosanna. It welcomed in the sacrifice. And the sacrifice voluntarily stepped in. He walked to his death. And he did so gladly. Because in his death is life. Now there are two Jerusalems. I've spoken mostly of the first, the earthly Jerusalem, the one that kills the prophets. But we are also told of the second Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, where the Lamb who was slain reigns upon his throne. In that city there is no weeping, there is no mourning, there is no death. The King of kings and the Lord of lords reigns upon his throne, and all who dwell within that city have assurance and safety. There is no night in that city at all, for the Lamb is its lamp, its light, its sun. That city is the goal. That city is the good heavenly thing that we all desire. And that is the thing that Christ promises us. That is the thing that Christ assures us that we will have. For in our baptism, we received Christ's own name, the name of the Trinity. And because of that, we have citizenship, guaranteed, assured that we will step into that city with him. With the citizenship in that city, that new Jerusalem, comes change. Because the old creation cannot step into that city. Sin cannot dwell in the sight of the Lord. So he changes us. We are changed to be like Christ, our head. He is the firstborn of the new creation, with a heavenly body, so we follow him into our own bodies that are changed by him. St. Paul tells us that our Savior, Jesus Christ, will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. He will free us from bondage and sin forever, so that we can live with him in innocence and blessedness for all eternity. And those who now sleep with the Lord, those who await the resurrection, they will join us. Their bodies restored to them, changed like ours, so that we can all be together, the church of God, the body of Christ, united with our head. This is our hope, our source of comfort in troubled times, that the day of the Lord is coming, and with it, salvation. Christ works today and tomorrow, providing mercies and healings and exorcisms, but it's the third day that he finishes the course. The third day that we are saved. So we wait for the third day, when the King will enter his Jerusalem, and we will all cry, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Amen. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Continue page 192. We stand to sing the offertory.
Friendship forms found at the end of the pew, passing them to the person next to you. You may place them in the baskets in the narthex as you leave. We will now gather the offering. You may be seated.
the prayer of the church, we stand to pray.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, we see how many still walk as enemies of the cross of Christ and face destruction. But you've made known your mercies in Christ, that we repent and become citizens of your heavenly kingdom. Protect your people from all evil intentions. Grant that we have followed the example of the holy apostles who willingly suffered wrong to make Jesus known. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remember the households of this congregation, O Lord. Provide help and companionship to those who live alone. Foster love between husbands and wives, parents and children, that our homes would not be places to worship or glory in shame or set on earthly things, but a refuge and foretaste of our heavenly home. This week, bless Chandel Nash, Marcia Buckmaster, Lauren Campbell, Kelly Green, Tom Anderson, Michael Gorman, as they celebrate their birthday, and Brandon and Jennifer Barefoot, David and Cheryl McDonald, as they celebrate their anniversary. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remember our nation and country and those you've placed in authority. Give them wisdom and integrity. Grant that neither they nor the citizens of our land would hinder your church or despise your call to repentance. Bless our country and nation and those who serve in the military, like Gobble, Charles Gaither, Emily Shelton, Alex Laffin, Courtney Tate, Danny Green, and Ricardo Tonga. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the country of the Ukraine. Defeat the plans of those who would stir up violence and strife. Destroy the weapons of those who delight in war and bloodshed. And according to your will, end this conflict in this world. Help by your word and spirit the Christians in the midst of this suffering, that they may be at peace with all people, and grant that all envy, malice, and hatred and enmity would come to an end. The proclamation of the gospel would continue. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We remember the sick and the afflicted, O Lord. Candy Darmody, Chris Henderson, Dwayne Brasowski, and Patsy Roller. Winona Kasarik, Darlene Meadrick, and Raymond Sendelbach. Joe Waller, Melody Lechtenberg, and Timothy Maltz. Elizabeth Dye, Lorraine Trinka, and all those still recovering from COVID. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remember this household of faith, the household of faith throughout the world. For you gather us at your altar as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. Unite in true confession of your word all faithful churches to proclaim repentance and righteousness in Christ. Bless Trinity Lutheran Church and the work we do here in our community. And bless John and Jen Wolfe as they serve the church in Kenya and serve the local people there. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you that your Son suffered the reproach that we deserved and bore all our sins to the cross. May we gladly bear our cross and boldly declare his death and his resurrection for our salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Service of Sacrament, page 194.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
Good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil, gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal Feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy.
art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thank you.
the minutes, page 199. We stand to sing.
Give you peace. Amen.